We are continuing our series on Promise 2K18. My prayer and our prayer by the end of this series is that we would have memorized this verse, because we are taking one small phrase at a time, or word for at a time for that matter. So by the end of it, for the entire year, or for that matter for the entire life, that we should be able to remember this verse. And not only remember the verse, but also apply this particular verse and the promise that God has given in each of our individual family and our church lives. May the Lord speak to us through His word. Let that be our prayer in our heart of hearts, that He may speak to us. Let us have that attitude of prayer as we read this verse once again. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. First we'll read it, and then you can fill in the blanks in the sermon notes. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. This time back to New King James Version. Let's all read this together aloud, please. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You can fill in the blanks. God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish. I hope you can fill in the blanks. It's very important, these words. The word of God is powerful enough. And when you not only read God's word, but write God's word, isn't it wonderful? There were times in the olden days, they did not have photocopies. They never had any digital versions. They had to manually write. They were called scribes. They had a privilege to copy God's word. All we are saying is just write down a few words. Sometimes we don't write God's word, but writing God's word also really gives us so much of impact, knowing that, oh Lord, not only seeing God's word, reading God's word, but also writing God's word. That's the whole reason we're asking you to fill in the blanks here. Let's read the same verse in the Telugu language. Those of us who can understand that, or even if you can read the English transliteration below, please read it along with me. తన నిత్య మహిమకు క్రీస్తునందు మిమ్మను పిలచిన సర్వకృపానిధియగు దేవుడు కొంచెము కాలము మీరు శ్రమపడిన పిమ్మట తానే మిమ్మను పూర్ణులుగాను చేసి స్థిరపరచి బలపరచును. తానే మిమ్మను పూర్ణులుగా చేసి. లెట్స్ రీడ్ దిస్ ఇన్ అన్ ఉర్దూ లాంగ్వేజ్. అబ్ ఖుదా జో హర్ తరహ కే ఫజల్ కా చష్మా హై జిస్నే తుమ్కో మసీ మే అప్నే అబాదీ జలాల్ కే లియే బులాయా తుమ్హారే థోడీ ముద్దత్ తక్ దుఃఖ ఉఠానే కే బాద్ అబ్ హీ తుమ్హే కామిల్ ఔర్ క్వాయిమ్ ఔర్ మజ్బూత్ కరేగా. బై ద టైమ్ వీ రీడ్ దీస్ వర్సెస్, బై ఐ థింక్ ఈవెన్ ఉర్దూ ఆల్సో వీల్ అండర్స్టాండ్, దోస్ ఆఫ్ అస్ హూ డూ నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్ నౌ వీ ఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు రీడ్ ఈజీలీ, రైట్? ఇట్స్ వండర్ఫుల్ దట్ God has given us different languages for us to even understand and focus our attention upon. So today's sermon is titled, just one word, perfect. One word, perfect. As you see this verse that is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, I just want to go back to the English portion of this. We have meditated upon the God of all grace. We have meditated upon called to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And last week we meditated upon suffered a little while. There are many truths that we have learned. I've been enjoying the word of God, and as much our prayer is that each one of us would be able to really appreciate God's word and apply it in our daily lives. And I hope we started applying whatever we have been learning over these past few weeks. Charles Spurgeon made a statement about this verse, and I thought I'll share it with you. He said that there are four sparkling jewels set in a black foil. Four sparkling jewels set in a black foil. The four jewels are perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. The four jewels set in a black foil. And the jet black setting is this: after you have suffered a little while. On a black. Typically, when the people like, those who try to sell diamonds or jewels, you know what they put? They put it under a black foil, black cloth, and then put the diamonds on the top of it or jewels on the top of it. And when the light falls on it, it sparkles. Putting on a dark background or a black foil. That jet black foil setting is this: you, after you have suffered a little while. What a wonderful statement that was, and I thought I wanted to share with you. For you to be able to appreciate the jewels, or to be able to accept the jewels that God wants to give you, the background of it is suffering. The black foil, darkness, unable to know what's going on. We have meditated upon it last week. Throughout this book of 1 Peter, if you haven't heard this, you can go to our church website and listen to this. But it's very important to understand the importance of sufferings in our lives in order to be able to know that it is only for a little while. And then comes the jewels. And one of the jewels that we are going to meditate on today is perfection. What a wonderful God we have, my dear. For this year 2018, while we want to say, I want to claim God's promise in my life, there are certain things that we need to go through in our lives in order to be able to claim the promises of God. It doesn't mean that every day, every situation in your life in this year 2018 will be hunky-dory, everything will be smooth, a bed of roses. No! We go through sufferings in our lives. Sometimes physical sufferings, sometimes emotional sufferings, sometimes financial sufferings. Whatever be the sufferings that we are going through in our lives, remember one thing. The promise of God, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, that he may establish, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There are a lot of definitions of this word, perfect. Many people, from a worldly sense, they say there's no perfect person in this world. And some said, the closest to perfection a person ever comes is when he fills out a job application form or tries to prepare his own resume. The closest. They want to show forth that they are perfect. I know everything. I want to get this job. They try to make themselves show as if they are perfect. When it comes to husband and wife, a perfect wife is one who doesn't expect a perfect husband. Try to think about this again. I had to repeat this sentence again. A perfect wife is one who doesn't expect a perfect husband. Now you see that? There is something about both the wife and husband to be able to recognize it. That is the worldly way of talking about perfection. But I want us to note the original word that was used for this particular word that was translated as perfect. And that is katartizo. Katartizo. That is a Greek word. You don't need to remember it or anything. But we need to look into this particular Greek word and try to see what are the possible meanings of this word. The possible meanings of katartizo, K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O or Z-O, katartizo. It means to perfect, to complete, to restore, or to mend that which is broken or torn, to make one what he ought to be. That is what katartizo is. One of the definitions, one of the ways in which you can translate into an English word is perfect. If you have an English standard version, the word that is used is restore. The word that is used is restore. Yes, that is also another synonym of this word. To perfect, to complete, to restore, or to mend that which is broken or torn, or to make one what he or she ought to be. That is what katartizo is. Now you understand that? We sang the song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him, yet there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hands. I'll be perfect just according to his plan. What a wonderful way in which the songwriter wrote. And that song is very appropriate to today's sermon, because that is what katartizo means. To make one what he ought to be, and also to be able to restore, to perfect, and to complete. The word katartizo is repeatedly used in various situations in the scriptures. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. Whenever we study God's word, meditate on God's word, we also need to see where else is this particular word used so that you can understand the holistic way of this particular one word, because today's sermon is on one word, and that is perfect. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. Don't think that I gave you a wrong reference. I gave you a right reference. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. Please read. Mending their nets. The word mending, the word that is used is katartizo. What were they doing? Tama valalu bagu chesi konuchundaga. What were they doing? They are fixing their nets. They were mending their nets. Or in other words, katartizo means to restore or to mend what has been broken or torn. That net got torn because of various excessive usage of the net. These fishermen were using a net, and if you have a big hole in the net, what will happen? All the fish that you catch, they will go away again in that hole. So what did they have to do? They had to mend the net or stitch it out in such a manner that it is back to its shape so that it can be reused for fishing purposes. That was a word, katartizo, meaning to fix, to be able to make it what it has to be. The purpose of a net or fishing net is to be able to not have too many big holes in it. Mending their nets. What a wonderful way in which it is explained. God is promising us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 that after you have suffered a while, maybe you need to be stitched in order to be able to be what you have to be. The stitching that has caused may be painful, but he is mending our nets in order to be able to use us for the purpose for which he has created us. Many times we go through difficult times when we become unusable, but God wants to reuse us, to restore us, in other words. The word restore is used multiple places in the Old Testament as well. In Psalm chapter 51, the psalmist David, in his confession, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of salvation." Because he was losing the joy because of the sufferings of this world, because of the guilt that he had come into, he lost the joy of salvation. So he said, "Restore unto me the joy of salvation." Job, a man who suffered through, if you leave aside the suffering of Jesus, apart from that, which is the worst of the sufferings that anyone could go through, the next person that I can think about is Job. He went through sufferings in his life. He went through sufferings in his life to the extent of losing his property, or for that matter, his job. The business that he was doing, probably he lost it. His family he lost, his beloved ones, his children he lost. And over 42 years, yesterday also I think in the fasting and prayer we were meditating on it. It took 42 chapters to be able to complete the life of Job. And where it says in Job chapter 42, let's read that. In Job chapter 42. Wonderfully, we see the one who went through sufferings in his life. If you are going through sufferings in your life, focus on the life of Job. And Job 42, verse 10, it says, Marala ataniki jaya chesana. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job. Restoration. After he suffered a while, God restored unto him. What a wonderful God we have. The same God who is promising in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 is the same God of Job. He went through 42 chapters of his life, and then we see here in verse 10 that the Lord restored the fortunes. He went through tough times in his life. And when he was speaking certain things in his life, God made him to realize that he had to retract and repent as well in verse 6. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. And then in verse 10, the Lord restored the fortunes. What a wonderful way in which we can learn about this particular one. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, after speaking many things about the personal relationships that he speaks in chapter 5, in terms of how he relates the Old Testament commandments that shall not commit murder, but if you are angry itself, and also when it comes to adultery, even looking at a person lustfully, and also many things that he talks about in this particular chapter, towards the end, the last verse of Matthew chapter 5, what does it say? You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect. The word perfect is a wonderful word. Be holy as I am holy has been a terminology that we have been seeing in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, even in the worship exhortation as well. In this particular verse, Jesus cannot make this statement if it is not possible. It is possible, and that is why he said, you may be holy, you can be holy. He didn't say that. He said, perfect. He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfection is essential. Many times we say, oh, this person is such a perfectionist. Oh, it's very difficult to handle this kind of person. And we go through tough times with such a kind of person, and we say, I'm going through sufferings because of this perfectionist. We want to do the best for our Lord. We want to do the best for our Lord, my dear. We just cannot be via media. We want to be able to follow what God wants us to follow or to be. We are to be perfect, not just do perfect. We are to be perfect just as the Heavenly Father is perfect. There are three things that we are going to see about the perfection that is mentioned in the scriptures, and I want us to look at it. And the first thing that you can see is that God's word is perfect. God's word is perfect. If God is perfect, God's word is perfect as well. Let us see that in Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7 in the King James Version, please. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The law of the Lord is perfect. There is no other word other than to be able to say perfect. Perfect meaning no defect. Perfect means no defect. I don't know how this fact word is common in both of them. But the law of the Lord is perfect. If you are trying to find fault with it, you can keep trying it. But I believe that this word of God is an infallible word of God. There is nothing that I can point finger at to be able to say that there's something wrong in the scriptures. Because the Bible is the word of God, and God's word is perfect, immaculate. There is nothing that I can point about. The law of the Lord is perfect. And after that, what does it say? Converting the soul. That is something that I really love it. It's not converting a religion. It's not converting a person from one religion to another religion. But it is converting the soul of a person. The soul that is a sinful soul, that sinful soul is converted to be able to be what God wants us to be. The perfection. God's word is perfect. God's word is perfect, converting the soul. Has he converted your soul? Maybe you're hearing God's word. Maybe you're reading God's word. Maybe you're writing God's word. The Bible says that it should convert the soul as well. Is your soul converted? The word convert is used very loosely, especially in the countries where we have come from. This person is converting him. This person is converting him. What is it? It's not a person who is converting. It is God's word that should convert. If God's word converts a person, that person is indeed converted. Otherwise, because of some reason, people get converted. I want these benefits, that's why I'll get converted. Because this person is telling me to do something, I'll get converted. No! It is the word of God that is powerful enough, perfect enough to convert the soul. And that is what we notice here, that it is God's word that converts our soul. God's word also mentions in James chapter 1, James also has a wonderful book that talks about conversions. And also the law of God, which is perfect. James chapter 1 and verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25.
He who looks into the perfect law of liberty,
he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, but not a forgetful hearer, but says doer. Yes.
This one will be blessed in what he does.
There is a blessing when you look intently at the perfect law of liberty. The word of God is perfect. The God's word is so perfect that it will cause liberty to us, the freedom from the sinful nature that we are living in, converting our soul, not our religion per se, but converting our soul in order to be able to focus our attention on Him and Him and Him alone. And then continues in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a doer. That is why we keep praying, Lord, help us not only to be the hearer of the word of God, but also the doer of the word of God. So, based on this verse, what I can understand is God's word. If you want, you can write down on the right side of this God's word that you wrote. God's word is perfect, and God's word perfects me. When God's word is perfect, He converts my soul, and God's word perfects me as well. He perfects me. How do I know that? The word that is mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Those of us who have the King James Version, if you can open it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Yes. What a wonderful word of God this is. All scripture, because all scripture is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. All scripture, not just, this particular verse, this particular chapter of this book. No. All, notice the word all. Please read in any other language, verse 16. Sannadudai. You know what that means? Sannadudai. To be able to be complete. Purnata. Sampurnata. Yes, brother. Prati lekanamu. Yes. It is profitable, my dear. It is profitable for teaching. The word of God. Why are we reading God's word? Is it for us to be able to start having some arguments or discussions or debates? No, that is not the purpose. It is for teaching. How am I being taught by God's word? Today, how am I be able to apply God's word? Knowledge puffs up, my dear. I'm very careful about this. I keep asking God, Lord, help me not to become puffed up in knowledge of God's word. I want to apply God's word in my life. This teach me, O Lord. Teach me so that I can teach others. I don't want to be just a channel. I want to be able to be transformed so that I can be able to teach others. All scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, to be able to have a correction and training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be perfect. So that the man of God may be perfect. God's word is perfect. God's word perfects us. As you meditate on the word of God, He wants to perfect you and I. Is it causing a change in our lives? When we hear God's word, when we write God's word, when we listen to God's word, is it transforming us? Is it making a change in my life? Is it making me perfect just as a heavenly Father is perfect? We need to question ourselves, my dear. Many times it becomes such a tradition in our lives that I come, worship, listen to God's word and go back to my regular source of work. My life is not changing. The way in which I'm relating to people is not changing. Is that the way in which we are living, my dear? Let us ask the Lord to change our lives. God's word is perfect. God's word perfects us. Perfects me. You can write it down. God's word perfects me. I want to read God's word. I want to meditate on God's word. Is there any correction that God is telling me to do? Not for others' sake. It's easy to be able to say this word is for that person. It's the right word. You hit the nail for the other person, you might say. No. How about you? How about me? Is word of God making a difference in my life? Is it correcting me? Is it causing a reproof to be able to set me in the right direction? And that is what you and I need to have. Secondly, that we can learn is not only that God's word is perfect, God's word perfects me, but God's work is perfect as well. Let us see that in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Dvithiyopadesa kandamu. 32 and verse 4.
He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, the God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he.
He is the rock, his work is perfect. Wow. Really love this. The way in which, just this one word, you can spend enough time. I'm not going to share everything related to perfection. It requires a series by itself. Why? Because God's word is like that. A little I'm sharing with you so that you can take it like a jump start and continue to meditate on God's word in your own personal time. God's word is perfect. God's word perfects me. God's work is perfect. His work is perfect. He created. If you read Genesis chapter 1, talks about his creation. His work of creation is perfect. He saw that it was good. He saw that it was very good. He wanted to make sure when he is a perfect God and his work is perfect, he will make sure what he has done is good or not. Self-testing, self-examination. Oh, this is done. He saw that it was good. Not only just doing it, but making sure that it is good, or in other words, his work is perfect. His work of creation is perfect. His work of salvation is perfect. There is nothing that I can question about who God is and what he does. The thing that God is doing in my life is also perfect. Maybe you are unsure about it. May I encourage you, his work is perfect. He has created you for a purpose, and he wants to be able to perfect you. And that is what you are here for. When you go through sufferings in your life, it is for your perfection. When you go through difficulties in your life, it is for your perfection. Lord, how am I being perfected in my life through this suffering that I'm going through? That is what you need to question. If you remember last year's church promise, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Those of us who have the New American Standard Bible, let us read that in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. What does it say? It says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." If you have other translations, it says, "Complete it." Perform it. Yes, there are different words that are used. Completion. God wants to be able to fulfill. He just doesn't want to make it incomplete. Half done. No. He wants to fully complete. He who has begun a good work in you. Good work in you. God has started a good work in you. Last year we were claiming that promise. Asking God, Lord, you who have begun a good work in us, you are the one who is going to complete or perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's perfecting me. He's perfecting me day after day. He is perfecting me. But many times we want to go back to the world and make ourselves dirty. And we come back and when we come back to him, he's perfecting us. And that is what the situation that we are going through in our lives, my dear. The good work that he started in your life, his intention is that it will be perfected in your life as well. I'll be perfect just according to his plan. He's still working on me. God's work is perfect to make me what I ought to be. Katharthizo. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him, yet there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan. I'll be perfect just according to his plan. Can you say that? You might be singing this song right from your childhood, but have you really thought about that one word, perfect? I'll be perfect just according to his plan, because his work is perfect. God's work is perfect. God's word is perfect. God's work is perfect. And God's work perfects me as well. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God's work. When somebody says, oh, what are you doing? People say, I'm doing God's work. What does that mean? God's work? God's work is perfect. So if you're doing God's work, how much perfect you should be in order to be able to do God's work as well. Not only God working, but you doing God's work. Those of us who are in ministry, those of us who are part of the body of Christ, my dear brother and sister, if you have that assurance of salvation that Christ has saved you from your sins, try to partake in some ministry or the other. Don't just be idle. Don't just be idle, just coming and going. That doesn't make us being really functioning in the body of Christ. We are not spectators. We are participators. Involved some way or the other. In any way possible, it doesn't mean that you should do everything what others are doing. No, you may be doing something unique. People may not even see what you're doing, but you're doing the work of the Lord. Things that are hidden, you may not be exposed in front of anyone, but you will be doing that which is essential for the functioning of the local church. And for that, I want us to go through Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11 onwards, I want to read it. Listen to this carefully. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the service of the Lord, to the building up of the body of Christ. Please read in any other language, probably King James Version, please. 11 onwards. Sampurna purushulaga varuko, meaning perfect man or a mature man or a complete man. Yes, brother. Kristunaku kaligina sampurnata, whatever the perfection of Christ is, I should also be able to have that perfection. Yes. Yes, brother. Any other King James Version, if you can please read.
Gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints.
For the perfecting of the saints. God's work is, God's ministry is given to us for the perfecting. Notice the word perfecting. Perfecting of the saints, yes.
The work of the ministry,
for the work of the ministry.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Continue. Unto a perfect man, yes.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Fullness of Christ, or in other words, the perfection of Christ. We as a body of Christ, if Christ is the head of the body, it doesn't make sense to have the head being perfect and body fully imperfect. It doesn't make sense. When you say this person is perfect, his head is perfect, his body is perfect. So you and I, as a members of the body of Christ, should be able to know that this work of the ministry that God has given, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, and various other ministries that God has given, is for the perfecting of the saints. When we are sharing God's word, when you are sitting here listening God's word, it is for you and I to become perfect. God's work we are doing. We are spending enough time studying God's word, meditating on God's word, and coming and delivering the God's word. Why? In order to be able to be involved in God's work of perfection in your life and my life also. And that is what we notice, the perfection. God's word is perfect. God's word perfects me. God's work is perfect. God's work perfects me. And third and the final thing here we notice in this particular perfect circle is God's way is perfect. Psalm chapter 18, Psalm chapter 18 and verse 32. Please read. Maketh my way perfect. He's the one who makes, verse 30.
Yeah. As for God, his way is perfect.
As for God, his way is perfect. His word is perfect. His work is perfect. His way is perfect. He's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That way, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, his way is perfect. What a wonderful God we have. God is perfect. His word is perfect. Work is perfect. And way is perfect also. Psalm 18 verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect or blameless. You cannot put any blame on that particular. The word of God is tried. He's a shield to all those who take refuge in him. And then in verse 32 it says, he makes my way perfect. His way is perfect, verse 30. He makes my way perfect. God's way is perfect. God's way perfects my way also. What is your way? Which way are you taking? Which direction are you taking? What decision are you taking in your life? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths, direct your ways. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says that. Trust in the Lord. Lord, I trust that your way is perfect. If your way is perfect and if I follow your way, my way becomes perfect too. Because in verse 32 it says, he makes my way perfect. Maybe we are not going through the way God wants us to go. Maybe we are taking decisions in our lives that are diverting us away from God's way. My dear, come back to God's way. If you are hearing the word of God right now and trying to see, oh, I'm hearing God's word, but I'll take my way. I'll listen to God's word. I'll be part of God's work. But when it comes to the way, it's my way. No, I want to follow God's way. Lord, what should I do? Lord, help me, Lord. I trust in you. And keep on asking God for his guidance. Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. I want to know you. I want to follow you. Because you will make my way perfect. What a wonderful God we have. There's a proverb that people say, practice makes a man perfect. Practice makes a man perfect. Or to be able to be gender neutral, practice makes a person perfect. Why? Practice. Keep on practicing to be able to become perfect. The word of God says, don't just be the hearer of God's word, you put it into practice. The more you keep things into practice, you will be able to see the perfection that is needed. There was a brother where we were trying to do some songs recording. He said, okay, first cut. He sang the song. He said, second round. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. And once suddenly he said, perfect. The moment he said perfect, we went to the next verse to record it. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that things are done right. Keep on practicing. Keep on practicing. Keep on practicing. And the moment he said perfect, there was a great sigh of relief. Okay, next. We can go to the next verse of the song to record. Yes. Perfection is needed when we keep on practicing. Our life in this world is to be put everything into practice. The word of God needs to put into practice so that we may reach perfection in our lives. In what aspects? There are many things that you can keep noting down as you keep studying God's word. But I just want to quickly give you three things about how you can be perfect in the things that matter in terms of our daily living, in our conversations, in our relationships, etc. How do I apply this perfection that God is doing in my life? God's word perfecting me, God's work perfecting me, God's way perfecting my way can be seen externally in certain things. And the first thing that you can note down in the second circle is perfect love. Perfect love. Let us look at that in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is very important for us my dear, this word love, we should really focus upon to understand what this verse, this chapter itself, if you read it, it talks about putting on new self, not setting the thing my mind on the things on the earth, but setting our focus on the things above, to get rid of the things so that we may be able to put on some things, put off and put on. And then he says here, in verse 12 onwards, as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against another, anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. These are practical things, my dear. It's very hard to forgive someone who is hurting us. When we go through sufferings in our life, how do we respond to it? We meditated on it last week. There are many kinds of sufferings that we went through also, that we went through as well. Even here, in this particular chapter, he talks about spousal relationships, parent and child relationships as well. So here we notice one verse that I want us to focus upon is verse 14. Verse 14, what does it say?
But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection.
Which is the bond of perfection. Above all these things, when it comes to showing compassion, kindness, humility, bearing one another, forgiving one another, bearing one another, really, man, it's very hard to bear another person who is always trying to cause so much of headache in our lives. But the Bible says in verse 13, bearing one another. All these can happen. The one which is a perfect bond, fevicol or fevibond, what is that? That ties all of these factors in our lives is love. If not for love, we cannot be able to accomplish these things. Which is a perfect bond of unity, it says. Perfect bond of unity. Maybe we are going through some kind of differences. Be it brothers or sisters, or for that matter, husband and wife, or any kind of a relationship where there is no unity. You're not able to see the other person with love. You may be smiling at that person, but you may not be having love towards the other person. The time has come, my dear, to be able to bond together with love. Without love, you cannot accomplish these things. It is a perfect bond that is essential in our lives. Let us see in 1 John, the first letter of John, talks wonderfully about love. 1 John 2, chapter 2. First letter of John, chapter 2, and verse 5, I'll read it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know we are in him. Do you want to know whether you are in Christ? Do you want to have assurance of salvation? Do you want to really question yourself, am I in Christ? Am I able to be part of the body of Christ? If you have that question, read verse 5. Whoever keeps his word, follows his word, in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know we are in him. Is the love of God perfected in you? Is there perfect love of God in you? That is a question that you and I need to ask. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. Please read 1 John 4, 12. His love is perfected in us when? When you love one another. Love one another, my dear. The one who is closest to you. The one who keeps, whom you're not unable to have love. I think the time has come for you to show that love to that person. Be it a distant relation, be it a close relation, whoever that person is. The Bible says in verse 12, if the Lord is speaking to you right now about that person whom you're not able to show the love, the Bible says in verse 12, love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Perfect love, yes.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world.
And also in verse 18.
There is no fear in love.
There is no fear in love. Don't be afraid. What will happen? As long as you keep loving the other person, you don't need to be afraid. If you hate the other person, that is when you should be afraid of. There is no fear in love. Yes, brother.
And perfect fear,
perfect love casts out fear. You have fear? Fear of being missing out? FOMO. I just came across a social media acronym. FOMO. Yeah, especially our children might be knowing, especially who are nowadays into social media. FOMO. Fear of missing out. Because people are saying, I went to this place, I went to this party, I met these people, and suddenly this friend of theirs is saying, that person didn't call me. I see all the pictures that they have been there. I'm feeling missed out. Fear of missing out. What a kind of social media is, sometimes it's good, but at the same time, it is causing people to have hatred against each other. These people want to share everything that they're doing, right? They keep putting photos, I went here, we had a party here, we had these many people, and somebody else also comes and takes pictures and say, we went to this party, to this person's. And suddenly, this person who is keeping on, all that person does is he's a passive social media person. All he does, he wants to know what is going on in other people's life. They don't want to share anything about themselves. But their intention is spending time in front of the social media to know what is going on in other people's life. That's all their life is. They are called passive social media people. And that is causing them to gossip. That is causing them to be missed out. I'm feeling missed out. FOMO, I'm telling you, it's an acronym that is used in social media nowadays. And people are going through depression because of that. Did you know that? There are a lot of studies that are going on because of the social media. I'm not saying that social media is bad. There are a lot of positive things about it. But at the same time, there are negative things that we should be cautious about. Fear of missing out. I'm being missed out. They're not inviting me at all. What is this? What is this? Many, many fears and such things. But perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And that is what we are. One who fears is not perfected in love. Talking about love. Love isn't there. This coming Wednesday, people are celebrating Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. The one day they want to show their love. And other days, I don't know what happens. But the point is, they want to be able to express their love. Now, no doubt about it. It's good to express your love. Express your love to the Father in heaven as well. He loved you with a perfect love. And he wants you to have that perfect love with each other. He loved us so much. The perfect love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is a love. That is a Valentine love of giving. Not expecting anything in return. He gave his only begotten Son. Christ died for us. The love has constrained him to give his life for us. The same day, February 14th, is the start of a Lenten season. Remembering Christ and his sacrifice. The Lent days begin this coming Wednesday. It's called Ash Wednesday. Though it is traditionally being followed, but there are so many truths that we can see about remembering the love of God towards me. But for this year, if you notice, both these days fell on the same date, February 14th, Valentine's Day and the Lenten season. Valentine's Day. V-A, Lent, L-E-N-T. Lent meaning to be able to give up everything. Lord, I give myself, I sacrifice myself unto you. To be able to set aside, I don't want to do these things in my life. And that's how people tend to sacrifice themselves. But it has become a tradition. But those of us who are genuine believers in Lord Jesus Christ, we can be able to really sacrifice our lives unto him and say, Lord, I thank you for what you have been doing in my life. So remember this Wednesday, the Valentine's Day, remembering Christ and his sacrifice, and love one another also, my dear. The one whom you love, show forth your love. As much as Christ loved you. As much as Christ loved you. The second thing that we can notice here is perfect peace. When you have perfect love in your lives, when you show that perfect love towards one another as much as God has shown to you, he wants to give you that perfect peace as well. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Any other language, please. 26:3. I really love that. To be able to say that You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, his mind is connected to you, whose mind is leaning on you. Lord, my mind is upon you, not the things of this world. As long as I have that perfect love experienced by God and show that perfect love, I'll be able to trust in the Lord. I'll keep my mind on God. What will God think about the situation that is going through in my life? Lord, what is your will in my life? How can I obey your will in my life? You will keep him in perfect peace. I love this word, perfect. He is the one who wants to give you perfection in your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, he himself will perfect you. He himself will perfect you. And third and final thing that we can learn about is perfect patience. It is needed. It is needed in our lives when we go through sufferings in our lives. We need to go through perfect patience. James chapter 1, wonderful book talking about sufferings and perfection and many things that we can learn about. It says in verse 2 onwards, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. And let patience have its perfect result. Let patience have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When we go through trials in our lives, in verse 2, when we encounter various trials in our lives, maybe you are going through sufferings in your life right now. The most common suffering that we go through in our lives or a thing is a worry. Worry about future. Who doesn't worry about future? Everyone keeps worrying about the future. But if you read Matthew chapter 6, Jesus clearly says not to worry. And we need to go through many situations in our lives, various sufferings in our lives. And here it says, when the testing of your faith produces patience, and patience will have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. God wants to let you to be able to obey his word and to be able to really have the patience in being able to go through the sufferings in our lives. Have patience, my dear. Patient. Maybe a little longer time. Maybe you are suffering that you are going through. Lord, how long is a question? Patience. Patience. Patience is the key. I'm not sharing this, my dear. I'm just sharing from God's word. It says the testing of your produces patience, and patience have a perfect result. You be patient. The Lord will perfect what is happening in your lives. Psalm 138. Verse 8, Psalm 138. I'm just giving you these references. You can note down these also. Really wonderful. I'm encouraged through these verses. Psalm 138, verse 8 in King James Version.
The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me.
Enough, brother. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. What is concerning you right now? What is concerning you right now? Is it your family problems? Is it your job problems? Is it your health problems? Is it your financial problems? What is concerning you right now? The Bible says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He knows what is concerning you. He has a great concern towards you. For that, you may need to go through some kind of sufferings. The black foil where the jewels are, we just meditated in the beginning of this sermon. Arabian horses go through rigorous training in the deserts of Middle East. Arabian horses. The trainers require absolute obedience from the horses and test them to see if they are completely trained. The final test is almost beyond the endurance of any living thing. The trainers force horses to do without water for many days. Then he turns them loose and of course they start running towards the water. But just as they go to the edge where the water is, ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle. The horses who have been completely trained and who have learned perfect obedience, they stop. They turn around, come pacing back to the trainer. They stand there quivering, wanting water, but they wait in perfect obedience. When the trainer is sure that they have had their obedience, he gives them a signal to go back and drink. That is perfect obedience. I know it's very hard, but God sometimes lets us go through difficulties in our lives to make us strong enough to have perfect obedience as well. Though it is not listed here. I just wanted to share with you, we need to be able to understand that God is allowing certain things in our lives for our perfection. As simple as that. Christ Jesus came into this world and he went through difficulties in our lives in order to be able to perfect us. One last verse and I'll close. That is from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Please read. Yes, by one offering, he has perfected forever. Perfected forever. He is the one, because of his offering, that he has perfected us forever. Please read in any other language. Yes, we are being able to be made complete. Sampurnulaga chesi unnadu antadi, chapter 10, verse 14. Or some, maybe in, before or after. It says that he is the one who is perfecting us because of his sacrifice. I hope you will remember this, my dear. God's word is perfect. God's word perfects me. God's work is perfect. God's work perfects me. God's way is perfect. And God's way perfects my way. In what way? To be able to experience perfect love, especially during this Valentine time, and perfect peace and perfect patience in our lives. May the Lord bless this word as we remember his sacrifice on the cross. That sacrifice has perfected us forever.